Let's pray again and ask God to feed us today. Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, and give you the glory, Lord. We thank you that you're in charge of our world, even, Lord. This is your world. You created it. You know exactly what's going on. There's not a thing that you don't know about. Lord, we just praise your name. A God such as that loves us. That's amazing. That's amazing. Lord, I ask you to teach us today. I ask that you help us learn. Open our hearts up, Lord, so this touches our spirit as well as our mind. Jesus, we love you. I ask you just to pour out of this vessel today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And we're going to go to these two verses several times today. So you probably want to leave your Bible open to them. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. This is Little John. The first Little John, okay? All right, this is what it says. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Yes. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Yes. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's just read it again. I want these two verses just to soak into us. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. I remember hearing a man talk about the front yard of his house. He had a shaded area next to the house in which he planted some bushes along with some ivy. Well, it wasn't long before the ivy literally took over the whole front flower bed, choking out the bushes and attaching itself to the front walls of the house. After a couple of years, and with most of the front bed in the house covered in ivy, he pulled as much of it out as he could from the roots, and then he cut the main stems that were growing up the sides of the house. Now, it looked as if he hadn't really done anything, but the ivy was either dead or dying, which became evident in the weeks following as the creepers began to fall away from the house and from the remaining bushes. Hearing this account of the ivy reminded me how sin grows and gets a stranglehold on our life. Saints, that doesn't mean that our lives must remain that way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let me read that little section again. It says, hearing this account of the ivy reminded me how sin grows and gets a stranglehold of our lives. But saints, that doesn't mean that our lives must remain that way.
Amen.
Amen. Today I'm talking about overcoming the world. Overcoming the world. What we discover in our text is that because of Jesus' death, The power of sin has been cut or destroyed. Sin has been defeated. Yes, the creepers of sin still cling to us and have some effect, but sin's power has been severed by Jesus Christ, and its grip dries up and falls away like the ivy on the side of that house. What I'm saying is that the conflict between the spirit of the world and the spirit of God is not yet over.
That's right.
But the outcome has already been settled at the cross in the empty tomb. And so I'd like us to examine these two verses this morning and the topic of how we Christians can overcome the world.
Amen.
Reading these two verses again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith.
Yes.
Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
Now, there's a whole lot of scripture leading up to and following after these two verses, but I'd like to keep us on point this morning so that what is revealed in these two verses will be the theme of our study this morning. Now, if you and I have a burning desire to be overcomers, to overcome the world, we must start by determining just what is the world. The world which John is referring to isn't the physical world. Rather, it is the attitude, or better yet, it is the spirit of the world. Who is it then that is in control of the world that we must overcome? The ruler of this world, the one who is dominant over this present world system, is none other than Satan himself, whom the Apostle Paul refers to as the God of this age. The fact that Satan is dominant over the world is never disputed by Jesus, even as Satan tempted him in the wilderness, showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and saying in Luke chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he says, this is the devil speaking, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. The devil telling Jesus that very thing. But how did this happen? Well, we simply return to the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve sinned, allowing the dominion of the earth to be handed over to Satan. And so the world that we can and must overcome is ruled and controlled by none other than Satan. Amen. Earlier, when John talked about this world and the things thereof, he said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, he said this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. As for the lust of the flesh, the Apostle Paul identifies it as sexual immorality and anger in all their various forms, along with idolatry and sorcery, and that which deals with self. And when John talks about the lust of the eyes, he's referring to those things that we see and desire, like possessions, power, and the like. Then the pride of life is anything that leads to arrogance, boasting, or selfishness. Consequently, what John is declaring is that the world we must overcome is nothing less than all those things that allure and trap the human heart. It includes all those desires and passions that can ensnare us. At the moment, those would include the world of entertainment and amusement, the world of finance and possessions, and the world of politics. Anything that exerts power over others. And while we may have a conscious awareness of the world's enticements, there is an invisible system that is behind them, one that we cannot see, but it is there just the same. It is what Paul describes as the powers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The world today influences every area of our lives, including music, sports, films, and fashion. And we can even recognize it within the church as we see fewer Bible studies and prayer meetings, not to mention fewer people attending church. Yet it is vital to understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, while we yet live in this world, we are not to live like this world.
Amen.
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 Because if we do, we become subject to the power that is behind it. Satan, the spirit and ruler of this world. So John is declaring to his readers that only a life of faith and belief in Jesus Christ will make us overcomers. That is, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. In the remaining time we have together this morning, I want us to understand what prevents us from being overcomers. Beyond that, what we need in an effort to become overcomers. And finally, who actually overcame and who helps us overcome. So what prevents us from overcoming? Primarily fear. Obviously, the first hurdle we must overcome is fear. And I'm referring to the fear of this world. It is so distressing that there are far too many of us who are afraid of what we call the man, that is, those in authority over us, what they can do to us if we expose our beliefs in Jesus Christ. This fear must be overcome. This was evident during the COVID pandemic as believers in churches cowered under pressure to conform to political correctness. Today, our government and our courts have so polluted the intent of the separation of church and state that believers' jobs and businesses have been threatened and churches have been taken to court with threats of closure. Just because we espouse a belief system that is unaccepted by the general populace, not to mention that we hold a set of morals that are completely opposite to the moral depravity of our day. Amen. Churches cannot talk about specific political parties or their platforms because of the separation of church and state. And if they do, they will lose their tax-exempt status. Hmm. They say this control over us is easing up, but the fear of retaliation is still there right in the middle of every church. Yet what gets me is how other nonprofit organizations espouse their worldly beliefs, morals, standards, political preferences without the fear of being punished. This is seen in what is now called the spirit of tolerance, which is just a smokescreen to shut up those that disagree with the current positions of our culture and society, which today is known as the cancel culture. It could be cancer. It spreads like cancer. Amen. This new belief system insists that we must all accept everyone else's system of belief or lifestyle and accept their truth as the truth. But this is not the real meaning of tolerance. Tolerance is accepting that others have different views, but it doesn't mean that those views have to be accepted as true or as ours.
Amen.
Our government and courts have changed the meaning and have rewritten its definition. Now tolerance is for everyone else, but not for Christians.
Yeah.
The world continues to refuse our truths and thus refuse us the same rights they give to others.
Amen.
Therefore, this whole idea of tolerance is one-sided, and it's on the side of Satan, the spirit of the world, which is diametrically opposed to the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. But remember, we are instructed in the Bible that we overcome these things by fearing God more than man.
Amen. Amen.
King David said in Psalm 56:11, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid.
Yes.
What can man do to me?"
Amen.
When I went to school at Jack Hayford's place out in California, they took us downtown Los Angeles to the Museum of Tolerance. And, no, of... it was all people that were opposed to tolerance. I can't think of the name, but we walked through there, and it had things like Hitler and all his beliefs and things that he did. And as we got to the end of it, it had Christianity listed as being intolerant. That's what I'm trying to say. Intolerant. We were right there with Hitler.
Wow.
And that's what the world thinks of Christianity, because it says Jesus is the way. There's one way. So, folks, you and I are intolerant.
Jesus is the way.
We're not.
But we're accepting, anyway.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Christians who have overcome the world are no longer interested in securing the favor of the world or its system, nor are they concerned about any consequences from it. Frankly, being spoken well of by the world is insignificant to them. They are simply inspired to be more evangelistic and less politically correct. Listen to Jesus' words in Luke 6:26. "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So for every believer in Jesus Christ, our chief concern is not to commend ourselves to man or to the world, but rather to God. And saints, no one will ever be an overcomer till that fear issue is firmly settled in their minds and in their hearts.
Amen.
So what prevents our overcoming the world? Fear. Mm-hmm. Fear. What makes us overcomers? Faith.
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 Amen.
What prevents our overcoming the world? Fear. What makes us overcomers?
Faith.
Faith. Faith. Let's go back to 1 John 5:4-5. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" In our text, the Apostle John declares that it is our faith in Jesus Christ that overcomes the world. We become overcomers by trusting in Jesus, not trusting in ourselves, and especially not the philosophies of the world. Now, belief or faith in itself doesn't win this victory. What rather, it is in whom our faith is placed. It is only in Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross in which our faith must be anchored. So the victory that overcomes the world comes from having our faith and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Yet if we do not believe and obey, that is to do what God has told us in His Word, then we will never be overcomers, and we will never enjoy the victory God says is ours. Faith is always active. We know that in this church. Therefore, faith and obedience are the keys to overcoming. Faith and obedience are the keys to overcoming. Being obedient and doing what faith tells us to do. The Apostle James points out that faith without works is dead faith. Dead faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." The children of Israel were given some strange instructions concerning Jericho, yet they operated in faith, following God's word to them. The walls of Jericho became rubble. Faith trusting God and His promises. Faith trusting God and His promises. And in this process, faith obeys God's commands exactly, immediately, and with great delight. The Lord commanded Joshua in Joshua 1:7, said, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go."
Thank you, Lord.
Faith, then, is the key. But I'm not talking about an irrational faith, but a faith that acts upon what is true. Faith in Jesus. And what is true is that God keeps and fulfills His promises. When we believe His word and act upon it, despite what it may look like, it prevents the world from tracking us or deceiving us. Amen?
Amen?
And so to secure this victory in our lives, to be those overcomers, we need to move forward by simply believing God. We need to pray and to study God's word. And then by faith, believe and obey. Believe and obey. Brothers and sisters, we need to walk in faith. Walk in faith. Now, there's something else about faith, and that is that faith gives us an attitude of victory. An attitude based upon the belief that God has already won the battle.
Amen.
Against Satan and evil. That is because John wrote this passage in the past tense. In 1 John 5, the last half of verse 4, it says, "And this is the victory that has overcome." That has overcome the world, our faith. You see, overcoming the world is not so much a matter of activity as it is an attitude. It is possible for those who call themselves Christians to stay away from questionable behaviors, but it doesn't mean that the love of the world is still not a battle in their life. So what prevents our overcoming the world? Fear. What makes us overcomers?
Faith.
And the final thought I'd like us to examine from our passage is just who was it that overcame? Jesus. Jesus overcame. Let's look at our text again. Y'all putting this down in memory? "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, our text is very clear. The ones that overcome are the ones who are born of God. That's what Jesus described as being born again. In other words, without a spiritual rebirth, no one will be able to overcome the spirit of this world and the sin nature that resides within the heart of every human being.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this overcome the world? You must understand this. It's not in or through our efforts. It's not in or through our efforts. We overcome because Jesus overcame. Yep. Amen. We overcome because Jesus overcame. Yes. To his disciples, Jesus said in John 16, verse 3, "In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, let me just quickly break this down. When Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation," he was warning us that trouble would be a constant in our lives, that we would always have trials and tribulations. We will have them, folks. But Jesus continues by saying, "Be of good cheer." In other words, we're not to let these difficulties and hardships overwhelm us, but rather we find joy. Because Jesus ends with, "I have overcome the world." The solution is walking with Jesus. You see, we overcome because Jesus first overcame. And he overcame Satan, sin, and death when he died upon the cross and rose from the dead on that third day. We overcome through faith in Jesus. And it is because of our faith that the Holy Spirit now resides within us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it declares, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Amen? Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." You're more than a conqueror. You not only kill them, you cut their heads off. Amen. Amen. All of this is made possible through our faith in Jesus. And through this faith, the Lord has given to us the greatest of all gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus declared in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, he said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you."
Amen.
Also hear what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And then verse 13, he says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come." Just think about the overcoming qualities the Holy Spirit imparts to every believer. Here are Jesus' disciples, fearful of the world, fearful of both the religious and the political parties of the day. They were more afraid of them than they were of the Lord. And this caused them to not only deny knowing Jesus, but to hide in fear as well. But Jesus said to them, in Luke 24, verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city until you are endued with power from on high." And again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Folks, those are reassuring scriptures.
Amen.
They are a blessing. How do we overcome the world? By faith in Jesus Christ. And it is through that faith that we can defeat the enemy of our soul, Satan himself.
Thank you, Lord.
Saints, there is nothing we have done or can do, but rather it is what Jesus has already done.
Yes.
upon the cross. He died to set us free from the power of sin and death. So it is our faith in Jesus Christ that overcomes the world. Jesus resides within us by His Spirit, so we can therefore declare, greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Amen. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Say that one. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. If you don't take anything else away this morning, please take that scripture and keep repeating it over and over, day after day. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. It is in Jesus that we become more than conquerors, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
And Jesus also promises the baptism of the Holy Spirit to all who would believe. At Pentecost, it was the gift of the Holy Spirit that brought the disciples power. With Holy Ghost power, the disciples were no longer afraid of this world.
Thank you, Lord.
But rather, they fought back against the gates of hell, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world within a single generation.
Hallelujah.
Dear folks, we must believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, and then have faith to obey His words and receive His promises.
Thank you, Lord.
Folks, if you haven't already received the wonderful promise of power of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to do so.
Amen.
Just as the first church was baptized in the Holy Spirit there in the upper room, you also can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as the end draws near, the evil of this world will only intensify. It will only intensify. Brothers and sisters, you and I must be prepared, and we must be determined to overcome the world. Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank You for everything You've done. You did it for us. That's hard to understand, but by faith we do understand. You wanted relationship with Your creation. So Lord, You did what was necessary to restore that relationship to Your folks, to Your people, Your kids. And now we are a King's kid. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You.
Lord, as we leave here and we face the world again and the attitude of this world, Lord, let us overcome it.
Yes.
Through faith in Jesus.
Yes.
Knowing that You have defeated the enemy. Let us overcome it by trusting Your promises.
Amen.
Your word for each one of us. Sometimes we can just open up the Bible and there'll be a verse that speaks to us. Lord, let us put action to our faith, receiving that word. Let us do as well as hear. And we give You all the praise. For the world doesn't stand a chance if we do these things we talked about today. The world will not win. You will be the winner.
Amen.
And Lord, thank You that we're included. We're included in Your victory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, go with us this week and let us overcome the world. And all that means, from all the temptations that come our way because of it, Lord, let us overcome the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I love you. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.